Good morning. It is so good to be with you. As I was thinking about this talk, I was thinking how many talks in the past couple of months have begun with the last 18 months have been crazy, hard, scary, frustrating. You can fill in the blank. The last 18 months for me has made me think a lot about how we treat each other and how we can be more aware of each other and to be kind. Always be kind. I believe kindness is an essential part of the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Over 30 years ago, Sister Camilla Kimball said, as we look about us at the lack of love of God or of fellow men in the world today, we realize that failing to keep these commandments has brought the world into a state of war and contention in which we find it. What can we do as individuals about this situation? Are we honestly able to look to the welfare of our neighbors and to be as concerned about them as we are about ourselves? This is so true today, maybe even more so than it was over 30 years ago. We live in a world where unkind, horrible, actually really nasty things are shouted in all cap letters on social media. Sister Kimball asks, what can we do as individuals about this situation? I realize it sounds simplistic to say, be kind. And I do believe consistent kindness can change the world, but it's not simple and it's not easy. So what does it mean to be kind? In Moroni's Discourse on Charity, he talks about some of the characteristics of that love or charity or kindness. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I want you to think about this for a minute and ponder on what the world would look like if we were all patient, that we didn't get angry, that we're not selfish, that we're hopeful. We would not be so angry and thoughtless and unkind to each other. So start thinking about the kind of person that you want to be. So how do we develop these characteristics that Moroni talked about regarding kindness? So here are some things that I've noticed in my life. I'm not consistently kind. It's something I have to work on again and again. Sometimes it's just easier to be indifferent. Sometimes it's easier to be mean. But being kind is a skill, and skills can be developed. We can start with the basics, and it doesn't get more basic than what Thumper's dad, what advice Thumper's dad gave to him. You remember Thumper, cute, cute bunny in Bambi. Says, if you can't say anything nice, don't say nothing at all. While basic, this is much harder than it sounds. If I took this advice, I'm sure I would have days when I never opened my mouth. Always assume that people are doing their very best that they can. When I assume someone is doing the very best they can, I tend to be less judgmental and unkind. It builds empathy, as I hope that they would assume the same thing about me, that I am doing the very best that I can. Okay, just because it's true or right doesn't mean you have to say it out loud or post it for that matter. I figured this out late in life when I was traveling with a colleague and we were talking about work. And she talked and talked and talked. And I listened to her rant about how she didn't like so-and-so and how dumb management was. Sad to say, I just really sat there and listened. And it went on and on. And much of what she said was accurate. It's like working at any place. You're going to be frustrated with management and other employees. However, saying that does not make it better. The problem does not go away. I felt frustrated and cranky and my head hurt. And that's when I had the epiphany of, if it's true, you don't have to say it. So we all want to be right. and we want others to know we are right. We also try to camouflage our mean or divisive comments. So here's an example of what I mean by camouflage. In the Southern United States, there's a saying, there is a phrase that says, bless her heart. If you add bless her heart or his heart to the end of anything you say, it's okay. It doesn't count as criticism. So for example, I'm shopping and I see this woman walking down the street and I say, oh, does she really think she can get away with wearing those pants? Bless her heart. Or I see a guy and I say, someone's been spending too much time watching TV and not enough time at the gym. Bless his heart. And then we all laugh as friends and feel good about each other because bless her heart makes everything okay. It really doesn't. The thought and the intent were unkind. Emojis are the bless her heart of your generation. Think about this. How many have sent or received a text or a message saying something unkind or something even that they wouldn't say to your face? And at the very end, there is this smiley face emoji. We think that little yellow face makes our technically correct unkind statements okay. If you just have to add an emoji as a way to say, just kidding, don't send the text. It does not lessen the unkindness in a text or tweet, just as bless her heart does not lessen the hurt of an unkind word, of unkind words. There's a great quote by Dr. Wayne W. Dyer. He says, when given the choice between being right and kind, choose kind. I love how he says choose kind. Being kind is a choice. And it's a choice we need to make dozens and dozens of times every day. We need to practice being kind. I know that sounds weird. And maybe we need to practice just keeping our mouth shut. But when in doubt, keep your mouth and your phone shut. Sister Okazaki, who was a well-beloved counselor in the General Relief Society presidency, said, brothers and sisters, we never know how far the effects of our service will reach. We cannot afford to be cruel or indifferent or ungenerous. Because we are all connected, even if it is in a pattern that only God sees. I strongly believe that kindness is a spiritual gift, such as faith or the gift of tongues, and others we can seek earnestly. Moroni continued in his sermon on charity, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified as he is pure. We can seek and pray for our hearts to be filled with kindness. We're all blessed with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Elder Oaks has said, spiritual gifts come to those who have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's also important to remember that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So we can choose to be kind, but we can also choose how we react when people are unkind to us. Elder Bednar said in a conference talk, when we believe or say we have been offended, we usually mean we feel insulted, mistreated, snubbed, or disrespected. And certainly clumsy, embarrassing, unprincipled, and mean-spirited things do occur in our interactions with other people that would allow us to take offense. However, it is ultimately impossible for another person to offend you or to offend me. Indeed, believing that another person offended us is fundamentally false. To be offended is a choice we make. It is not a condition inflicted upon us. We can choose not to. Think about this. I'm telling you to think about a lot of things. But if we really understand that we can choose not to be offended by another's actions or comments, we can resist that temptation to harbor a grudge against that individual or exchange harsh words with them or send a nasty text with a smiley yellow emoji face. It really is exhausted to be offended by someone for extended periods of time. And finally, we have the perfect example of how to treat others in our Savior Jesus Christ. I think of the way he was with the woman caught in adultery, or the man at the pool of Bethesda. I think as he greeted and wept with Martha and Mary after the death of Lazarus, even though he knew Lazarus would live. He, not only did he show us the way, he gave us the gift of the atonement that can bear us up as we struggle with the natural person who is so often unkind. One of my favorite scriptures is in Alma 7. And it says, "And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions, temptations of every kind. And this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. And he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people, and he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor people according to their infirmities." Elder Bednar continued, "The merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah can help us triumph over the self-centered and selfish tendencies of the natural man and become more selfless, benevolent, and saintly. We are exhorted to live, to so live that we can stand spotless at the very last day." And it is my prayer and my hope that all of us can follow that first and great commandment, to love God and to love each other. And that as we show Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ that we love them, we are being kind. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.